Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the K Thompson Live Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Once again, it's that time on a Wednesday evening at the 8 p.m. hour. I am also known as the Sun, but you can call me Citizen Payne or Eric Payne, one of the co-hosts of the show. And you are today.
Your mother. K Thompson, everybody. Welcome to K Thompson Live. We've been on for a long time now, still going strong. And we have some exciting stuff coming up, but I'm going to say for another time, you know, to mention to people, because really, it's really, really dynamite. And that's thanks to Mal Wolfhook and a few other people who are really, really in our corner and really very excited about the new programming that we're going to be doing and the new people that we're going to be involved with. As a matter of fact, we are going to be involved with the some of our good ministers. And they're going to be working with us, and I think we're going to really be benefiting from this. The whole community will be. Exciting programming, not dull, never dull, right there?
Right. Yep, and like you said, Ma, it's
this morning, right away?
Well, this evening, we're in this evening time.
Yeah. What's going to be happening is that Larry Hazard is going to be going in, and he is the New Jersey Boxing Commissioner, and we've had him on before, and this is because of the Mayweather fight this Saturday,
Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor fight, boxer. Floyd Mayweather is going to be fighting a mixed martial arts guy. Named Conor McGregor, and it's going to be the two disciplines coming together, Conor McGregor challenging Floyd Mayweather in a fight, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Let's go to this line here. I think this might be our resident guest host, Mr. Byron Saunders. Byron, is that you?
I am indeed. I'm a fight fan from way back, and I'm putting my money on the brother with the undefeated record, I think we can say, you know, and Floyd still has enough, gas in his tank to take Mr. McGregor, and it's a show, it's a circus. So they're both going to make a lot of money. I'm not spending a penny though on the pay-per-view rights. I'll just follow it on the computer round by round to see who gets the last laugh.
I see. Well, the Conor McGregor guy. I mean, he's a I guess you could say he could be the equivalent to Floyd in the UFC world, the world where in terms of a trash talker and guy who drums up interest for his fight. And, you know, he's taking a page out of Muhammad Ali's playbook. Muhammad Ali was one of his heroes. I saw an interview with Conor McGregor, and I saw that Muhammad Ali said was one of his heroes. So, you know, the UFC, to me, has been, and I guess Mr. Hazard, when we have him on, he'll have a different opinion. But to me, the UFC has been kind of stealing the light and the thunder of boxing, just because of the excitement that it's inspired in many people, and also too people, you know, a lot of people haven't grown up on martial arts movies. Now that they have an actual fighting, a legit fighting system where people can test their skills against each other. It's been going on for a while, but really more recognized here in the United States. You know, it's piquing a lot of people's interest and overshadowing boxing, unfortunately. Let's bring in our co-host, Mr. Wayne Gilman, legendary newsman. Wayne, how are you this evening?
All right, Eric. Hi, Brian, Byron, and Kay. How's everybody?
Oh, great. Thank you, Wayne.
Good.
How are you? What do you think about the fight this weekend? Have you been paying attention?
No, I've been paying attention to Trump, if you're talking about that fight, the fight to get him out. But it's funny. I hadn't followed boxing in a while, but I know something's coming up, you know?
Right,
so maybe
right,
you can enlighten
right. Well, this big Floyd Mayweather fight. I think this might be Mr. Larry Hazard on, and also he could give us a little perspective. I'm tempted to ask him what he thinks about his boy. Well, Donald Trump is not his boy, but, you know, being that Donald Trump has hosted a lot of boxing events at the Trump Taj Mahal back in the day, some of
right.
the premier events have gone on there. And I think this is our guest right here, Mr. Larry Hazard. How are you? Is this you, Mr. Hazard?
Okay, Eric. How you doing?
I'm doing okay this evening. How are you, sir?
Doing very well. Thank God.
All right, and I know that everybody wants to say hello to you, Byron and Wayne and my mom.
Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Good to have
how you
doing?
Larry.
Okay, Wayne.
All right.
Hi, Ms. Payne. How you doing? How's everybody?
Good.
Count the ten.
Good.
Count the ten.
Now, I guess, what do you think? What do you think of the upcoming, you know, the Floyd Mayweather and this guy Conor McGregor, Mr. Hazard?
Well, you know, Eric, I'm somewhat of a boxing purist, and I find it very difficult to even, you know, garner interest in this event coming this weekend, which might be a surprise to a lot of people. But, you know, the buzz for this fight is mainly in the mixed martial arts community. A lot of the boxing community is kind of turned off from it. And I'm kind of included in that. I'm a little disappointed in Floyd. Of course, all of the pressure, I believe that all of the pressure is on Floyd because everyone expects him to make short work of this McGregor fella, and including myself. So, I mean, it's going to be a big letdown if, for some reason, Floyd doesn't win the fight. All of
right.
the rules, they're fighting vis-a-vis boxing rules. McGregor really doesn't have any boxing experience. And so, you know, it leads everyone to think that, you know, Floyd should have an easy night. You know, my thinking always, in a fight, anything can happen. You know, I've seen it happen many times in boxing. You know, fighters whose skills and abilities are nowhere near their opponent sometimes can close their eyes and wake up in heaven, you know, winning championships. I saw it happen with Hasim Rahman and Lennox Lewis,
yeah,
and
right.
It has happened before. In this particular case, at least in those situations that I just described, they were at least both fighters, and they did have some fighting, boxing skills. This McGregor fellow, you know, he's strictly MMA. No one expects him, you know, to win the fight. I don't expect him to win. But, again, there's always that outside chance. So we'll see.
Right.
I'm a little disappointed. You know, I'm a little disappointed in Floyd in that if he wants to break a record. See, a lot of people have that record. They really don't clearly understand that 49-0. He retired undefeated. A lot of people think that no one else had a record of 49-0. Sugar Ray Robinson had 80-some-odd fights before he lost. But Floyd,
there you go.
Floyd retired. See, that's what a lot of people don't understand, is that Floyd retired undefeated, 49-0. So that's, but I think that there's always going to be an asterisk by his name because, you know, he's not, if he wins, he didn't win against another fighter. Unlike Sugar Ray Leonard, who was my favorite, you know, Sugar Ray Leonard was retired and he decided to come back and he called out the baddest guy that was out there in the division. He called out
that's
Marvin
right.
Hagler and beat him.
Yes, he did.
So, I'm a little disappointed that Floyd, if he wanted to come back and break any type of record in boxing, then he should have came back and called out the baddest guy in the boxing division to fight. But he comes back and, you know, it's all about the money. I mean, I really can't blame him for that because they're going to be smiling on their way to the bank come Monday morning. You know, and this is what the MMA people certainly are supporting it. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
So let me ask you along that line, since you talked about it, what do you think about, I mean, you know, a lot of Floyd's opponents? Do you think that, you know, he got to his resume? So is he currently 49-0? Is that, that's, I've lost track of this resume. Is he currently 49-0, and he's officially retired? He's coming out of retirement to fight McGregor? Is that the scenario?
Well, that's basically, he's not, see, it's a strange phenomenon. He's not coming, he's coming out of retirement to fight McGregor. There are no titles on the line. He's not going to win a championship. Floyd is not the, technically and officially, he is not the champion. This is not a championship fight. This is simply Floyd Mayweather coming out of retirement to fight an MMA fighter, you know, and that's the extent of it. It appears that, you know, there had been some clamor, mainly I think in the MMA community, for this fight to happen. And so, you know, they were able to talk it up, and there certainly is interest, you know, a great deal of interest in it by a certain, from a certain segment of the combative sports community, and I think mainly the MMA community.
Right.
So that's where we are with that.
Right, he retired undefeated.
Yeah, he retired. See, Floyd, you know, Rocky Marciano, the former heavyweight champion, he retired as an undefeated heavyweight champion with a record of 49-0. Okay, nobody beat Rocky Marciano. The same applies to Floyd Mayweather. He retired 49-0. He tied Rocky Marciano's record as a boxer, 49-0, and he retired. Floyd Mayweather has not been beaten by any fighter, by anybody in the ring. Okay, but I think that there's a little bit of a misunderstanding from most people with that 49-0 record. There are a lot of fighters who surpassed 49-0, but they didn't retire undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
Do I make sense?
Right.
You know, Larry, I just wanted to ask you, who do you think is on the horizon now that would give Floyd a good run for his money?
Well, there are fighters that Floyd could have called out. Well, he beat Canelo, okay?
He did, but then there's Canelo,
Triple G,
right.
You know, that
right.
Golovkin fella, okay?
Right.
He could have gave him a run for his money. You know, Terence Crawford, you know, you got a lot of up-and-coming fighters on the horizon now, which is really what's the engine that's bringing boxing back. It'll never get back to what it was, you know, generations past, last decade past.
Yeah.
But it was in a slump. It was in a slump for a while, and that's where MMA sort of gained some ground on boxing, you know. For a couple of years there, where, you know, you didn't have a lot of boxing. One, you didn't have a lot of it on TV for a while. Now it's back. For a long time, a lot of these top fighters were cherry picking their opponents. You know, boxing fans want to see the best fight the best. So now we're starting to get that again, and boxing's popularity is beginning to come back again. But during those few years there where boxing was sort of in a little bit of a slump, MMA gained a lot of ground and became very popular. That's why it's pretty popular now, but I think it's kind of peaking out now. But it gained a lot of ground over boxing. It was all over the television. You know, there were a lot of you know, the excitement of MMA, I think, is what garnered the interest of a lot of people also. Mm. That constant excitement, especially, you know, the millennials, you know, that young crowd. And,
yeah,
of course, that population that has been the great support for MMA, you know, Caucasians, you know, 35, between 35 and 50, that group, you know, that's where the bulk of that MMA support came from. And so, you know, it gained a lot of ground on the sport of boxing. It has arrived. It certainly has arrived.
I hear what you're saying. I don't mean to cut you off. But I was kind of curious about the whole racial dynamic with this contest because, you know, it just seems to be a lot of trash talking. And I know race has always been a factor in the boxing world for a long time. But is that what's driving the ticket sales now, you think, or?
Well, listen, Wayne. You know, we know in combative sports, you know, really they don't like to talk about it, but the popularity, that's one of the elements that has always fueled combative sports, especially boxing. You know, the heavyweight champion of the world, supposed to be the baddest man on the planet. You know, you remember years ago when they wouldn't even let a black man fight for the heavyweight championship. You know,
exactly.
Going way back,
yeah,
to the days of Jack Johnson and even,
Johnson,
you know,
yeah, I don't remember
coming
if
closer
I was
to the present. Yeah, so we know with that. We know the history of boxing. Okay, so now we got MMA, and you have Mayweather, who's always been very flamboyant, boisterous, and you've seen how he conducts himself. So, you know, whenever you have a situation, when you look at the matchup here, you cannot discount the racial elements. I mean, you know, I don't say that's not a dirty thing to talk about. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it's a fact. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you remember when Larry Holmes fought Jerry Cooney, okay? You saw that whole thing as that unfolded, how nasty it got racially, you know.
Exactly.
You know, they had President Reagan piped into Jerry Cooney's dressing room, you know, waiting for him to win. They even introduced, never before in the history of boxing did the heavyweight champion get introduced first, okay? They introduced Larry Holmes first. So there were a lot of racial elements, and it really got real racial, you know. And so I've seen signs of that also with this press conference tour that McGregor, and you know, he called him a monkey and said some other things. You know, you remember he's gyrating and talking about he's black from the waist down, all this. So we've seen the racial elements because, you know, they know that race is always an element in these types of matchups. So, you know, that certainly is helping to fuel the interest because, we're not neophytes to this business. And we know that there's a certain element of ticket buyers who just want to see Floyd get his butt kicked, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
I was interested about that racial element because you mentioned that the demographic of the MMA fan, that was a 35 to 50-year-old white dude. But, you know, there's a lot of blacks that are into martial arts and mixed martial arts. But at one point, and I watch it, you know, I'm one of those people that's into it and like it. But at one point, there were some brothers that were accusing the UFC, which is the dominant division of mixed martial arts, of being a little racist in terms of the brothers letting brothers on the show and competing a lot of the stuff until, you know, they had Anderson Silva, who was a brother, fought kind of, I guess, in the welterweight division, who was a brother out of Brazil. Was a mixed martial art Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy, but with the kind of moves and the flamboyance of Muhammad Ali. And what you said, Muhammad Ali was a hero of his growing up. And this guy was undefeated for a long time.
He was taking no prisoners.
There was a,
that's right.
I'm sorry?
I said Anderson Silva. I said he was taking no prisoners. You know.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, he was. He was.
He eventually got beat.
And you're beginning to see. You're beginning to see a lot of the African American competitors emerge as champions in MMA.
Right, right. John Bones Jones was one who recently got kind of kicked out because of his performance-enhancing drugs. Even the light featherweight, there was a featherweight division where it was two brothers that were the two dominant fighters. So a lot more African-Americans get a shot in the mixed martial arts arena. But you're right, you know, it seems like there's always a racial element that comes to it or that some people want to make out of it.
Oh, there's definitely, you know, that has always been a part of combative sports. Matter of fact, you know, if you look at the history of boxing, you know, boxing has so many elements that made it popular culturally for us. You know, it was easy for black men, African Americans to get into because, you know, we grew up naturally in our culture and in our neighborhoods, you know, learning to fight, learning to box. And then, of course, the promoters, they certainly used all of these elements, you know, in their promotions, you know, as well as the geographics. You know, all of these elements were always used, you know, to fuel boxing. And so, you know, MMA is no different. And as far as martial arts is concerned in general, you know, a lot of African Americans have always been involved in the martial arts, but in the traditional martial arts.
Right.
Not in the MMA, you know. So that the MMA is a creation that has been very successful, and it has gained a lot of popularity over the years. As a matter of fact, you know, I was very instrumental in the creation of the unified rules for MMA, you know. So New Jersey and my commission has a history in MMA in terms of helping to jumpstart the sport, you know, in its beginning. So, you know,
that's right, because at one point, some fighters couldn't fight in New Jersey or they needed to be sanctioned because there were not a lot of rules, right, Mr. Hazard? And
there weren't any rules in the beginning, and they tried to go to Las Vegas where, you know, that's the big place, the big venue. They tried to go there to do an event, and the Las Vegas, the Nevada Commission told them that they were unacceptable because of their rules, and if you can go to New Jersey, who has probably the most stringent rules as it relates to health and safety, combative sports, if you can go there and get a license, then we would consider it. So they came to us. We had a meeting with the entire MMA industry right in my office. And we looked at their rules and regulations. We took out all of the rules that we felt was unappealing to the general public. A lot of politicians had gotten involved in this whole situation with MMA, and many of the states, they didn't want it. And so we sat down and we ironed out a very comprehensive set of rules and regulations, which are still in force today, known as the Unified Rules for MMA. If you go on the Internet, you go on Google, and you just put New Jersey MMA, and you'll see the whole history of how they emerged. And that's what happened. Donald Trump gave them a venue at the Taj Mahal in Atlantic City. I gave them a license. They had a very successful event there. And from there, that just kick-started that whole industry. They went back to Nevada, got licensed, and the rest is history, you know.
Wow.
So it's well documented. You know, it's well documented.
Now let me also ask you, you said that you guys took out all the rules that weren't kind of, I forget the word you use it, but good for the public. Were there, because of the graphic nature of it, some of the rules you guys had to modify?
Well, you know what happened.
Talk about
when they first came out, they called it. It was like no holes barred. That was just straight up, you know, eye gouges. You know, guys would pick their opponent up and pile drive them into the canvas. You know,
right.
Head first. You know, there were some real nasty. You know, it was really out and out street fighting. You know, if a fighter was on the canvas, you could kick him in the head, you could knee him in the head. You know, there were basically no rules. It was just all out.
Right.
You know, there was basically no rules. You know.
Right.
And of course, the famous or infamous chokehold. You know, and that's still permitted. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to that, there were very, very few rules when they first started. So we cleaned it up, and it's what you have now.
Now, were you guys also responsible for establishing I'm sorry, go ahead, Barry.
I was just going to ask, Larry, the involvement of women in the sport, what your opinion of that, because the MMA is a brutal version of boxing. Boxing is brutal enough, but when you take those gloves
could
and
minimize
them down.
Could you talk a little louder? It's hard. I'm having trouble hearing them.
As the rules really apply mostly to men, the women's rules, was it necessary to revise some of those rules to accommodate?
No. The rules are the same. All of the rules are the same. Yeah.
All right. And your opinion of women in the sport?
What was that? I missed that.
I said your opinion of women in the sport.
Oh, well, you know, look, you know, we live in an era now where women have to be included. You know, they are all inclusive in most things. So, you know, I'm in favor of it, but I really don't. I think I'm entitled to say that I prefer just, you know, my interest is mainly in men. I don't really, even in boxing, we have women in boxing. You know, we have a young lady right now who's trying to drum up a little excitement, Clarissa, the young girl who won the Olympics twice.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Right.
It's just a little, I guess I'm just old school with that. I certainly endorse women in both sports, but my interest level, I have difficulty with my interest level when it comes to the women. You know, I just can't drum up enough excitement to take a great interest in the women in combative sports. That's just my personal opinion. But,
yes, sir.
You know, I certainly endorse it. You know, I don't, you know, they have a right to compete if that's what they want to do. And we've always had an open door policy in New Jersey as it relates to women competing in combative sports.
Do you, Mr. Hazard, do you see a boxing coming back to Atlantic City in a big way that it was during those heydays? I guess the heyday of Mike Tyson and Donald Trump owning that casino in the Taj Mahal. I mean, because he really was instrumental in making it kind of competitive a little bit with Vegas in terms of the fight game back then, wasn't he?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Without Donald Trump, back in the 70s, 80s, and part of the 90s, New Jersey would have never emerged in the, in my opinion, because I was there from the very beginning, and most of my tenure as the commissioner in New Jersey was when Donald Trump was here. Matter of fact, most all of the years, basically, when Donald Trump was casino entrepreneur in Atlantic City. I was a commissioner throughout that whole period, and I can tell you that his contribution to big-time boxing in Atlantic City and in New Jersey was phenomenal. I don't ever see boxing coming back to that level again, mainly for two reasons. One, we don't have a Donald Trump in AC right now. As a matter of fact, the casinos have been, you know, going through a down period there.
Right.
And, you know, so that has affected our level of activity because the promoters don't get the support that they got from guys like Donald Trump and some of the other people who were running the casinos back in those years. Secondly, I don't think that boxing will ever reach that level again in Atlantic City because you don't have the fighters that you had from decades past. You know, you don't have the Sugar Ray Leonard's, the Mike Tyson's, the Michael Spinks's. You know, New Jersey and Atlantic City was host to some of the biggest fights in boxing history with Mike Tyson alone. But we also played host to a group of light heavyweights who were probably the greatest group of light heavyweight fighters in the history of boxing. You know, you had Saad Muhammad, Michael Spinks, Dwight Quawe, Eddie Mustafa Muhammad,
right?
You know, yes. Mike Rossman, Richie Cates, Yaki Lopez. I know you're familiar with all these names.
Oh, yeah.
And all of these fighters fought in Atlantic City. You know, the greatest light heavyweights, Bob Foster, the greatest light heavyweights in the history of the game fought in Atlantic City. You don't have that anymore. Then you don't have your Sugar Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns, Roberto Duran, Aaron Pryor. You know, you don't have these guys around anymore. You know,
right.
So, you know, boxing will never, well, I won't say never, but it'll be a long time before you see, you know, the groupings of fighters, the greatness that we've been able to see, you know, from decades ago or two decades ago. So in Atlantic City, in New Jersey, I don't think it'll be years, it'll be decades before boxing ever reaches that level again. But I have all the confidence in the world that we are beginning to rise a little bit now. And hopefully next year, the Taj Mahal is getting ready to open back up. You have a Warrior, that group that's coming in there, Hard Rock. They're boxing people, so we're looking to them to bring in some big fights. There's a fellow named Al Haymon who really has taken over where Don King left off. You know, all of these big fights that you're seeing, the PBC championships, that's all endorsed and being put on by Al Haymon. You know, so he is looking to do business in New Jersey. So we just need the right combination of people in the casinos once again, you know, that are willing to see big-time boxing as a viable form of entertainment for their high rollers, you know. So, you know, you have a whole new generation of entrepreneurs down there who I think don't really have any frame of reference as to how great it once was there. But once we start to get those types of casino people back again, we will be able to see boxing, you know, regain some semblance of the past. I have all the confidence in the world. That's
going to
happen.
You know, Mr. Hazard, I Wayne Gilman again here, and I ask this question with all due respect. I know you had a personal relationship with Donald Trump, and you just cited how he was instrumental and putting Atlantic City back in the day, no more than probably fewer than 20 years ago, putting it on the map as being one of the boxing capitals. When you juxtapose the person that you knew back then and the person you see in the White House now, do you think he's a racist?
Well, the person that I knew back then, I never saw signs of that back then. You know, some of the things that I'm seeing now, you know, makes me wonder, in all fairness to him, he never showed me that.
Yeah.
I never saw any of that. I'm just being fair about it, you know.
No, I understand what you're saying, and I ask this with respect because I know you've had business dealings with him and all that. But when I see what goes on, and it's not to say that I'm here to, I'm not looking to change the subject matter, but when you brought his brought up his name and the influence that he had back then,
See, that's the thing, and I've been asked this question. I haven't been asked if I thought he was a racist, okay? But I have been constantly always asked about the impact that he had on boxing in Atlantic City. So,
right.
I mean, you can't run from the truth. So I try to separate the politics from the other stuff,
Right.
Now, when we're just talking strictly boxing, and the impact that he had on boxing, you can't run from the truth. You can't run from that. Okay? So in fairness and in truth, he had a great impact on boxing in Atlantic City. And let me say this. They talk about his ego. I believe that his ego played a big role in it because he used to outbid all of these guys, from Vegas, Steve Wynn, and all of them. He would outbid these guys. If they pay $15 million, he'd pay $17 million. I think he got a kick out of that. And we made out because of that. So we can't hide from that. I can't run from it, separating the politics from that, And to be honest, during those years that, I dealt with him in Atlantic City, I didn't see any signs of that, of racism, because, he was buying fights and we were in the sports. I didn't deal with him on a daily basis, but anytime there was a big fight that he was bringing in, he brought Mike Tyson in, and him and Mike Tyson appeared to have a great relationship. Him and Don King seem to have had a great relationship, And I certainly didn't have any problems with him. He was always very cordial with me. He would come in and he'd always sit next to me and ask me, who's going to win this fight, Larry, And we'd talk, and that would be the extent of it,
Mm-hmm.
So, some of the things that I'm seeing now, it really raises my eyebrows to a degree, So
yeah,
you never know,
One of the puzzling things about, we've seen indications of that other side, that surprising side to you. But when someone deals in, I guess it was a lot of it was business oriented, but still, they're obviously for the man that brought in the fight game to Atlantic City, and you don't deal with a number of black people in the fight game. So, and of course it was a business, so I guess he could put up with a few black people. But you said, he seemed to have genuine relationships with individuals, at least, like Mike and other people.
He introduced me. He introduced me to Oprah Winfrey. Okay, so he brought her in. They came in together to a fight. Sat right down behind me. He introduced me to Oprah Winfrey. You know what I'm saying? And I've seen him with a number of, like you say, it could be just business, So I can only go by my personal experience. back then, you know.
Well, we look forward to the fight. Obviously, you're taking Floyd Mayweather on this one, I assume. I'm going with Floyd, too, because I've seen the dude training a little bit when they had him in the gym where he couldn't kick nothing and wasn't looking too promising.
Well, you're going with Floyd, which is the way you're supposed to go because you know something about the game, and you know that Floyd is not supposed to lose. I mean, all the pressure is on Floyd because you're fighting boxing rules. This guy is not a fighter, okay? You know, so everybody expects Floyd claims that he's the baddest, the best ever, you know. So he definitely has shown that he is the best of his era. Okay, in my opinion, he's not the best ever, but he certainly has shown that he is the best of his era as a boxer, and he's fighting against a mixed martial artist who's not going to be able to do any kicking. There will be no grappling. There will be no ground fighting. Okay, when they get in a clinch, the referee is going to break them up. Okay, so this guy is going to have to rely on what they call in MMA, stand-up. That's what they call stand-up.
Right, right.
And McGregor was really, he was really not, you know, that much of a stand-up guy, although he did have a good piece. He is relying on his punching, okay?
Right.
He's supposed to have a hell of a punch, you know what I mean? But like Ali say, you can't hit what you can't see. And
that's right.
Floyd is a fighter that has demonstrated time and time again that he is the best defensive fighter, you know, in boxing. That's what made Floyd rather boring in many of his fights. You know, he'd sit back there in the pocket and shoulder roll and, you know, slip punches and, you know, fail to engage to the level that most fight purists like to see. So Floyd has everything in his favor. And he certainly has all the pressure on him. So, you know, it's MMA versus boxing. You know what I'm saying? That's really what it's boiling down to.
Right.
And how many rounds
just ask
you this last? I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Wayne.
No, I was just going to ask, how many rounds does he see this lasting?
I would say that it don't go beyond 5 rounds. I would hope that, you know, I'm going to tell you. If this fight goes, Floyd is, in my opinion, in a no-win situation. Because if this fight goes the distance, I think that it's going to take some of the tarnish away from Floyd's legacy. Okay? Certainly if he loses, hey, man, his legacy pretty much is going to go down the drain, in my opinion. If he loses, you know, if he doesn't stop this guy or knock this guy out, you know, Floyd, it's going to be like, hey, man, the best ever? Really? You know what
exactly.
I'm saying? So.
Do you think that, you know, when some people say, you know, they don't like Floyd because of he's so defensive and, you know, I usually find this conversation when I'm talking, when I might be talking to a Caucasian a guy talking about fighting, how they don't like all the moving and all that. They just want somebody to stand in there and fight. And, you know, the objective of the fight is to hit, not get hit. Do you find that notion of people not liking, you know, a defensive fighter or a fighter like Floyd or Cassius or Muhammad Ali who wouldn't let fighters hit him and people get frustrated, say, I'll just stand still. Do you find that, feeling to be fall along racial lines or what?
Well, no, not so much that. I don't really think it's so much that. You know, see, me personally, I'm just old school with it. As far as the racial part of this is concerned, is that one, Floyd's got all that money. You know, he flaunts it. You know, this is where I see the racial element coming in, where people not of his race and even some people of his race don't like it. You know, you've seen him on 24/7, you know, using a profanity. And then, of course, the situations that he's had with females, you know, women, you know, abusing women and all. So, you know, people bring a lot of personal stuff into, you know, the equation when you're dealing with a personality, especially a successful sports personality like Floyd Mayweather. Then you see him on 24/7, you know, flaunting all his money. I'm sure you've seen some of this stuff, you know.
Yeah, yeah,
through
I
the
have,
years,
certainly.
You know, and I'm sure you've said, like me, how ignorant it looks, you know.
Right.
I'm sure you saw that episode where him and his father was having it out in the gym, you know.
Right.
Did you see that, where he was cursing at his father and telling him he ain't this and, you know, using all the four-letter words and all, you know.
Right.
And you know, just being outright disrespectful to his father, telling his father, you weren't no fighter, you know, Roger, you know, and using all the four-letter words. So these are the types of things that go into the equation, you know, towards that dislike. You understand what I'm saying? So as far as comparing him with Ali, see, the difference with Ali is that Ali was an engager. You know, you hit and don't get hit, but Ali would engage. You know what I mean? You know, when Ali and those three fights that Ali had with Joe Frazier, okay, those were the three most brutal fights in boxing history, in my opinion, especially the Thriller in Manila, okay? It was total engagement. Those guys were close to killing each other in that one fight, okay?
Exactly.
And Eddie Futch stopped the fight because Joe was fighting blind. You know, a lot of people didn't know that, and I knew Joe had very little sight in his left eye throughout his career, and Ali had already pretty much closed the right eye, so Joe was fighting blind. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And Ali was ready to quit. Ali was ready to quit himself. So that came, it was total engagement for 14 rounds. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
you
sir.
Never saw Floyd come anywhere close to that, you see? So there's a difference. You really can't compare, you know, hit and don't get hit, Muhammad Ali and Floyd Mayweather. You know, Floyd Mayweather never engaged to that degree, you know.
Right.
He would do enough to win, and, you know, he did enough to be undefeated, and that's it.
So, Mr. Hazard, we're going to bring the interview eventually to a close in a few minutes, pretty much. Go ahead, Ma. My mother wanted to say something.
Hi, Larry. Listen, even though I don't like boxing, never did like boxing, and attended a boxing match with Gus some years ago and swore that I'd never go again, it was exciting.
You know, my mother never liked boxing either. She never liked it. she could not figure what do you see in that, okay? But it kept me out of trouble, so she went along with it. You know what I'm saying?
But listen, you know, Eric Bob met Muhammad Ali when you went to the camp
long time ago.
Tell everybody about that, Eric.
Right. No, I'm not going to talk about it. I met Muhammad Ali. I'll save that story for another time. What I wanted to ask you before we let you go, Mr. Hazard, is who do you think, the eventual question, was the best ever?
The best ever? The
best ever,
in my opinion, and Muhammad Ali agreed with me, okay, was Sugar Ray Robinson.
All right.
Sugar Ray Robinson. Muhammad Ali
agreed with you?
Muhammad Ali even agreed with me, okay, in several times. And Muhammad Ali has said publicly, okay. And, you know, I always tell people a funny story. Muhammad Ali was getting ready. He was up in the ring. He was getting ready to fight somebody. I forgot who the opponent was. And they, you know how they used to introduce the old fighters? When they, you know, they'd introduce some of the old fighters who were in the audience. They bring them up, and you've seen it. They come up in the ring and take a bow and go over and wish they got, okay, well, Muhammad Ali was getting ready to fight, and they introduced a couple of the old fighters, and then, you know, they come over to Ali, Ali turn, look at him, you know, okay, he might, you know, and I'm saying, look, Ali ain't even being fazed by this. They introduced Sugar Ray Robinson. Sugar Ray came up in the ring, and when he came over to Ali, Ali took one knee. Ali took one knee. I said, see, one picture is worth 1,000 words. You know what I'm saying? Ali bowed. He bowed to Sugar Ray Robinson, boy. I said, see, that's respect right there. Real respect.
I think I might remember this footage that you're talking about. It was one. It was. I want to put it in the black and white era. That's the only way I could describe it. And when
it was. That's right.
Things. And Muhammad Ali was still a relatively young man, right? And he gave Sugar Ray that respect. And he didn't. I think I might have heard him vocalize that as well, Mr. Hazard, that he said Ray Robinson. Ray was a middleweight, wasn't he? He wasn't a heavyweight, was he?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. He was
a
welterweight first. He was a. Listen, Sugar Ray Robinson won 89 fights before he lost a fight.
Nice.
Sugar Ray Robinson. That's the reason I started boxing. I saw Sugar Ray Robinson, and that was it, man. That was it. Okay? Sugar Ray Robinson, he won 80-some-odd fights without a loss. Then he lost his first fight. He lost to, the guy that he fought him 6 times.
Right.
Okay? He's still living now. He's 91 years old. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, talk about Floyd Patterson.
No. Oh my goodness.
Jake LaMotta.
Jake LaMotta. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes. That was Sugar Ray Robinson had won. Okay. Now you know 80 fights. That's almost like 2 boxing careers today. 3.
Exactly.
You know, these guys have 20, 21 fights. They're done. Okay? Sugar Ray Robinson had won 80-something fights without a loss. He fought Jake LaMotta. He lost. And then he went on and won 80-some-odd more fights. And he fought Jake LaMotta 6 times. He beat him 5 times in a row. Jake LaMotta said he caught sugar diabetes. From Sugar Ray Robinson. Okay.
And then Ray would go do a tap dance. Then he'd go and perform at night, right?
That's right. Sugar Ray Robinson, man, I'm telling you, that they've done surveys, even with some of the youngsters, you know, younger, not, you know, I would say, like, you know, people in their 50s and 60s that followed boxing. The only fighter that you get almost total agreement when it comes to who was the best is Sugar Ray Robinson. You know, you have people say, oh, Muhammad Ali was the best. The majority of people agree was the greatest fighter ever in boxing is Sugar Ray Robinson.
And I might add, Larry, just as a footnote to that, he was an astute businessman, too. A lot of people don't know that Sugar Ray Robinson owned a lot of Harlem before it became popular for black folk to own Harlem.
He had a whole
that
block
of
business.
That block between 125th Street and between 8th and 9th, 8th and I think going towards the river. He owned quite a few buildings. I know the
he had the
projects
bar,
there now.
He had the barber shop. He had, you know, he had a whole block of business.
A successful businessman, right?
Yes.
Well, we're going to leave right there. I want to thank you, Mr. Hazard, for joining us and giving us that information and sharing your thoughts on this upcoming fight. As usual, always entertaining and, of course, educational whenever we get a chance to talk to you about a fight. Ma, you wanted to say?
Yeah, Larry, thank you very much. It's been amusing to me, even though I hate boxing. I absolutely hated it. You know, my father loved it, as you probably might remember.
Well,
but anyway,
well, you and,
he and his boys
you
would
and
get
my
together,
mom.
His men, you know, would get together and play cards and watch the fights. and I was a little kid.
Yes. Well, I enjoyed
Thanks,
it. I
Larry.
Enjoyed it. Okay.
You're
gonna
come
My
again.
Pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
okay.
you, Mr. Hazard, once again. The great Larry Hazard has been our guest this evening. That was well, we got an education about the boxing. Every time I talk to Mr. Hazard, it's always a pleasure to find out other little tidbits and history elements that you find, especially for, you know, a fight head. I know, Byron, you're a big-time boxing fan. Talking earlier,
oh, yeah.
It's always a pleasure to talk to someone like Larry Hazard.
Wayne Betts.
Absolutely. A history lesson. Very good history lesson. In fact, Sugar Ray's popularity picked up again this year at the bar that Sugar Ray actually owned, and they did a dinner theater piece called Sugar that Woody King produced, starring Reginald Wilson. I saw it. I went to the play. It was done very well. Lawrence Holder wrote the play. Excellent piece. In fact, they're on tour right now with that piece. They were down at the National Black Theater Festival last week doing it and got well received. So they, that's right.
That's great to hear. Now, what was that club that Sugar Ray owned uptown? You guys were talking about it. I know there was a popular club, the nightclub that he owned, wasn't it, as well?
Well, I know, if it's the spot that I think it is, Eric, I know there are housing projects that are there now. You know, and I can't think of the name of it. It's on 125th Street, and Byron, maybe you may know more than I, but I think it's like between 8th and maybe St. Nicholas or you know, the opposite the Percy Sutton United States Post Office building. I think it's diagonally across from that, if memory serves. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, where the bar was located is still a bar restaurant. In fact,
I didn't know that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's right there at 124th and Adam Clayton Powell, I believe it is. And so the entire
All
block
right.
there. And Bessemer. Bessemer is the name of the restaurant there. And that's where Sugar Ray owned his property, with the barbershop and the bar and everything. So, yeah, still very viable. They got pictures on the wall, Sugar Ray. You know, they don't have the pink Cadillac, but, you know, they got pictures of it. So.
Yeah.
That must have been a real heyday in Harlem during those days.
That's right. The flamingo-colored Cadillac.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Yeah.
Ray Robinson, Sugar Ray Robinson, he was one of the best. Watched some of his old fights.
Ooh, yeah.
He put it down. He wasn't that big of a dude either, but he could fight for sure. And, of course, always the hair. He had the prize, the conch hair. Always had that looking fly, you know, after the fights. But that was an interesting discussion that we had. We come down to about the time. And we didn't even say any negative Donald Trump stuff. See, we even got some positive Trump stuff in there for those of you people.
Yeah, that's about all you'll get, too.
They might want to point out that we ain't got nothing nice to say. You know, we could have a lot more nice to say about President Trump, about 25 if he leaves office. If he voluntarily leaves office, I have a whole bunch of nice stuff to say about him. That'll be all right. But it's been a good show. I want to say thanks to our resident guest, the one and only Mr. Byron Saunders, guest historian.
Peace and love, my friends. Peace and love. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, my brother. Till next Wednesday. Wayne Gilman, legendary newsman. Once again, it's been a pleasure, sir, talking to you and with you and talking to the great Larry Hazard. Thanks again, Mr. Wayne Gilman.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you. Talk to you again next week. This has been the Kay Thompson Live Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. We're on live every Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. Wednesday evenings, or you can listen to old shows, any shows you want, because the show is archived. So you can go to the archives and listen to any show you want at any time, including tonight's show with the one and only Mr. Larry Hazard. I am the Sun, also known as Eric Payne, Citizen Payne, the other co-host. And this has been the Kay Thompson Live Show, and you are?
Kay Thompson. Join us next Wednesday, 8 to 9, everyone, with another exciting program on Kay Thompson Live here on Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you again next week. Once again, the struggle continues, and we'll see what happens with the fight. Take care of everybody. Bye-bye.